Welcome everybody to Live with Ben and Jackie. We are so happy that you're tuning in today. Today we have an awesome topic that we're going to be sharing, and the title is Moving from Drought to Rain. Let's get out of that drought and let's let it rain. We're going to go over four different things that you can do to move from drought to rain. But we also want to say hi to everybody watching on the podcast. We've released this new podcast and we've been getting great feedback from it. Thank you for the feedback. We appreciate it. And if you can do me a quick favor and just share this broadcast so that other people will be blessed by it on your Facebook, that would be great.
Awesome. Thanks for tuning in, live stream viewers, podcast listeners. Hey, if you've been listening on the podcast, take a screenshot of it. If you've been blessed by it, take a screenshot of it and share it on your Instagram. That would help us increase the reach. We're really happy to see you listening to it. It's awesome, and hearing the testimonies of what God's been speaking to you. That's great.
Hit that share button. I'm about to do the same.
Share it. Thanks for tuning in already. Awesome. Drop a comment if you're just tuning in now. And today's four P's that we're going to share. We're going to share four steps of moving from drought to rain. Basically, seeing a breakthrough in your life. If you believe in God for a breakthrough, today is the day to be tuning in. Maybe take some notes, leave some comments. And the four points that we're going to share is: number one, you got to proclaim. Number two, you got to pray. Number three, you got to prepare. And number four, you got to pursue. Proclaim, pray, prepare, pursue. And in a minute, that will all make sense. So thanks for tuning in. Let's just jump right into it. You will read 1 Kings chapter 18.
So we're reading 1 Kings chapter 18, 41 through 46. It says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the mountain of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' So he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times he said, 'Go again.' So then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.' So he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.' Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel."
Awesome. Hey, Elvia, thanks for sharing. Dave, Jonathan, awesome. Thanks for
tuning in. Hi, Thong, for tuning in.
Newlywed.
Tessie, all of the people, Jonathan.
Keep the bus, Megia. Awesome.
Yes.
Hey, before we can jump into the four points, let me quickly share with you here what's happening, background story. She just read 1 Kings 18, the end of the chapter, where the prophet Elijah just had a massive showdown with the prophets of Baal. There was these, Israel had turned away from the true God and had turned away and started serving other gods. And as they did that, God had said in Deuteronomy 28, God had said that if you stop obeying me and stop serving me, there's no blessing for you. There's actually, you open up the door for the curse. God had said, if you obey and serve me, then all these blessings will come upon you. And one of these blessings was that the heaven above them would give the rain in their land in their season. Avery, Diana, thanks for joining him. Megia, awesome. He said, I will give you the rain in your land, in your season, and your land will produce much fruit. He said, all these blessings will come upon you. So it's a blessing to serve God. Serving God pays off.
Amen.
That's always good to
yes.
know. It's always good to remember that it's better to serve God than serve the devil. It's better to serve God than live in the world. It really, really, really pays to serve the Lord. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The devil will try to portray him like a robber, but he's a rewarder.
Yeah,
God loves to reward his people. If you look through all the gospels, you see Jesus continually doing miracles, telling people, if you just ask the Father in my name, he will do it, he will give it to you. God is a loving God. His mercies are new every morning. He loves to bless you. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. And he's a good God. Just write that down right now just to remind yourself, my God is a good God. The Bible even says it, that he is good to all who serve him. So every day again, you can expect something good to come your way. So that's always good to remember, that your God is a good God. But what had happened is Israel turned away from God, and because of that, that same chapter I just mentioned, Deuteronomy 28, God had said that if you stop serving me and if you turn away to other gods, then actually these curses will come upon you. Everything will be cursed. And one of the curses was that the heavens above them would become like brass and the rain would become like dust, and there would be no produce of the field, no blessing, no increase, a total drought, a total famine. And Israel actually saw that happening, that in the time of Elijah, right before this passage that she just read, is actually what had happened is God had spoken to Elijah that he had to prophesy and say, there's not going to be any rain until I say so. And why was that? It's because Israel turned away from the living God and turned their back towards God and started serving other gods. So now, 3.5 years later, God says, okay, I'm going to send rain. But Elijah knows exactly what to do in order to see that rain come. In order to see the blessing of God start flowing in his life, Elijah knew there's something that has to change. And what was it? He called all those prophets of that other God. He called them all together and he said, let's have a showdown. Let's see who is really God. And he called all of Israel together and he said, choose this day. Who are you going to serve? You know, make a decision. Too many people are in, out, yeah. back, forth.
One foot in the world, one foot in the church.
And there's no blessing in that. There's no life in that. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to serve God with all of your heart, and then you're going to really see all these blessings come upon you as well.
That's right.
So he challenges Israel, who are you going to serve? And Israel is so hard-hearted, they didn't answer him a word. They just kind of stood there. Let's see, you know. So Elijah says, fine. He says, the God who answers by fire, he will be God. So what happens? He does this, like, they do the both make a sacrifice and bring an offering to the Lord. The prophets of Baal go first, and they do this whole ritual thing, you know. Religion is a nasty thing. It never has any fruit. It never has any life. So they go through all these rituals, but there is no answer. I want to remind you today, before we get really in the message, is that your God, my God, our God, the one true living God, what is he? He answers.
Amen.
When we call on him, he answers.
Yes,
when we pray in his name, he responds. Before you call, I will answer. While the words are still on your mouth, he's already sending the answer on his way. Why? Because we serve a living God.
Yes.
He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He is there.
Sure.
He's always on time. He is never late. He's a God who heals. He's a God who provides.
Yes.
He's a God who sticks closer than a brother. He is always there.
Amen.
He's a great, 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 great and mighty God.
Yes.
So Elijah knows that. He mocks those prophets of Baal because he knows their God can't answer. And then he says, okay, now it's my turn. And what happens? He gives the offering. I mean, he just makes his petition unto the Lord, a quick 30-second prayer. And what happens? Pew! Fire comes from heaven and consumes the offering. And all the people say, the God of Elijah, he is the true God. Mm-hmm. And what all Elijah knows what to do, he deals with all those prophets of Baal. He slays them all that day. And Israel turns back to God. And that actually is, before we can get into these four steps, these four things that you can do to turn from drought to rain, what has to happen is you got to find out what God says about your situation, and you got to make sure that you position yourself in the right place in order to receive the rain of God in your land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do all these steps, but if you don't...
Disobedience.
Yeah, if you're completely disobedient, one foot in, one foot out, then you don't apply for this, you know?
Yeah.
You're not positioned.
You're unstable in all of your ways. If you're one foot in and one foot... Then the Bible says that you won't receive anything from the Lord because you're unstable in all of your ways. Let that man know you won't receive
so
anything.
So Elijah knew, let's straighten things out. When things were straightened out, when he made the right decisions and he helped Israel make the right decisions, then he knew, according to what God had already said in his word, he knew, now we qualify for the rain.
Yes.
Now we qualify for going from drought back to rain. Now we qualify for the breakthrough. So before we get into the four P's, just make sure that you qualify for that breakthrough in your life. And how do you know? It's just checking the word of God for your specific situation. What does God say about my situation? And am I living in the Word? Am I living right with God? If there's any gray zone in your life, you just correct it. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I make the adjustment. And when you do, what happens? You back in position to receive the rain in your land. So with that being said, we can jump into the four P's, the four steps of moving from drought to rain. Thank you for Mildred tuning in. Tona Lillian,
hi.
Awesome. Thanks. Brooklyn, Irgan Boni, Animin, Oscari, thank you for joining. Awesome. Make sure you hit the share button and invite your friends to tune in as well.
Yes.
Let's jump right in. Number one, moving from drought to rain.
Is proclaim.
Proclaim.
Yes.
What was the first thing that Elijah did after Israel had turned to God? The first thing he does, he says, hey, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Yeah.
Let me ask you though, was there any cloud in the sky at that point?
No, there wasn't.
Nothing at all. No cloud
he
in the sky.
He prophesied it.
He proclaimed it.
Yeah.
He spoke the thing into being, you know? He said it even when there was no physical evidence of rain coming. See, God is looking for people today who will believe God for rain on a cloudless sky.
Come on.
Who won't live by what their eyes tell them. Who don't live by how they feel. They don't live by what they see. They live by what they believe.
Yes.
That's what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the word. And if God says it, that settles it. I believe it, and it's going to happen. So you got to proclaim it. You got to make sure that your speaking is in line with the word of God.
Yeah, you have to believe what God's word says, the promises that he has said, and speak those promises over your life. Many times the temptation is there to speak the problem that we see. But instead we need to speak the promise. We need to speak the word of God into existence in our life before it manifests into
It's
reality.
So important. And actually, I was thinking about it. Proclaim and complain, actually almost the same word.
Yeah.
Same, almost the same letters. And that's the thing. People are proclaiming their complaints. And that's the problem, because then what are you going to have? The Bible says it that in Proverbs 18, the man will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Whatever you speak, your life is going to get filled with. You know, so it's very important that you, before you do anything else, you check what is coming out of your mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you look at what the prophet Ezekiel had to do, is when God showed him the valley of the dead bones. What did God tell him to do? He said, son of man, speak.
Yeah.
Prophesy to those bones and they will come back alive. I mean, if he would have spoken, man, these things are dead. There's no way that these come back to life, you know. If he would have spoken the natural situation, that's exactly what he would have had. But if you want to see the supernatural in your life, if you want to see breakthrough in your life, if you want to move from rain or from drought to rain, what do you have to do? You got to start speaking in line with the word of God. Instead of speaking the situation, oh, I'm poor. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm troubled. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, it's so hard. You got to turn your words around, search the scriptures, see what God says, and start speaking it. Start speaking, I'm blessed. Start speaking, I'm healed. Start speaking, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
Start speaking, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. I'm not going to fail. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. You got to start speaking. Oh, instead of saying, I'm a victim. I don't know how to do it. I'm just not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. You start speaking, I have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
I have the anointing of the Holy One.
Yes.
I know all things.
Yes.
You got to start speaking it, man. Until you start speaking it, you'll never see it. The Bible says that we have to be like Abram, who spoke things that were not as though they were. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 3 that God spoke the world into existence.
Yes.
But the world was framed by the word of God.
Yes.
So he's given us his word so we can be like him, imitators of God, and start speaking. Just like God said, let there be light. We got to start speaking. Let there be rain.
Yes.
Let that breakthrough come.
Yes.
Let whatever God has said about me, let it happen.
Yes. Amen.
Too many people have books and books full of prophecies that God has spoken over their lives. And they're like, well, one day God's going to do it. I know he's going to do it because he said it. It doesn't happen that way. He wants you to take that word from the word of God and whatever prophecy you've gotten out of the spirit of God. You got to take it and proclaim it. Speak it. Speak it, speak it, speak it. Otherwise, it will never happen. He said, son of man, speak to the dry bones and then they'll come. In 2 Kings 7, there was another famine, and it's actually with the prophet Elisha. And they were in the city of Samaria. There was a massive famine, even so bad that people were eating their own kids just because they didn't have any food. I mean, it's terrible, terrible situation. And the king cried out to the Lord, "Lord, this can't happen any longer." And the prophet Elisha, he speaks by the Spirit of God. He said, "Tomorrow by this time, there will be total abundance." And one army officer, the right-hand man of the king, heard what the prophet Elisha prophesied. And he says, "Even if God makes windows in heaven, this cannot happen." I mean, he spoke.
You're always going to have the naysayers with you.
He proclaimed the wrong thing, yeah, you know. Yeah. He proclaimed the negative. And guess what? The prophet Elisha said, "You will see it with your eyes, but you will not partake of it." Wow. And actually, the thing, just as Elisha spoke it by the Spirit of God, it happened exactly the same way. But that man who proclaimed the negative, what happened to him? He died that day. He saw the abundance come, but he was trampled underfoot and he never partook of it. So if you want to be partaker of the blessing of God, and if you want to be a partaker of the rain, then you need to make sure that you line up your words with the Word of God. Amen. It's very, very, very important. So make a decision today that you're going to, the Bible says in James, he says, "Can sweet water and bitter water can't come from the same source?" So you're going to make a decision. The tongue of the righteous, the Proverbs 10 says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. It's as choice silver. You got to make sure that you speak life, that you speak the word. Proclaim. Amen?
Amen.
Proclaim. What's the second?
The second P is pray.
Pray. Write it down. Pray.
Number two.
Make sure that after you proclaim that you start praying. What did Prophet Elijah do? He proclaimed it. "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." And then what did he do? He went up that mountain and he prayed the thing through. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just proclaim it. You got to also take time to pray. Persistent prayer. Take that promise of God and take it in prayer. So, see, Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, "If any man seeks, he will find. If he knocks, it will be open to him. And if he asks, he will receive." The problem is that too many times we seek once, we seek twice, and then we give up. But Elijah was a man of persistent prayer. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we gotta be sure that we pray things through. I think she needs a sip of water. That we pray things through. You saw with the man of God here, he went up on that mountaintop and he put his head in between his legs and he just started praying. He shut everything that his eyes would tell him. He shut it all out and he just prayed. And seven times his servant came back to him and said, I don't see any clouds yet. I don't see any difference yet. I don't see any change in my circumstance yet. Nothing has happened yet. But what did Elijah do? He just kept praying. Seek, you will find. Ask, you will receive. Knock, and it will be open to you. You just knock until the door falls down. Persistent prayer. Don't give up in your praying. If you know you're praying according to the will of God, you're praying along with in line with the Word of God, then just keep praying. Don't give up on that. You got nothing to add to that?
No. Yeah, just keep believing. Believe the word, stand on the word, and then see it come to pass. And you can even rejoice in your prayer, because once you've prayed, you know that God has heard you and that he's working on your behalf. So you don't have to necessarily keep praying for the same thing. Just stand in your belief that God is working, that the drought is coming to an end, like in this case, and then act on it, which is the next point, right?
Well, yeah. And the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we got to make sure as Western believers that we're not casually seeking him.
That's right.
He said, "If you seek me with your whole heart, then you will find me." You know, so I think a great deal of not seeing breakthrough has to do with just like casually praying and then like, "Oh, well, I guess it wasn't the will of God." No, that's not how things work. God is not random. He's not like once this and the next time that. No, God is a God of his word. He doesn't change. He's always the same. So when he says it, he means it. And when you take it and believe it and bring it to him in prayer, after you proclaimed it, then it's surely going to happen.
Yeah.
It's surely going to take place.
Yeah.
So you just got to hold on to that promise and stand on the word and make sure that, and really praying doesn't change God, but it changes you. It makes sure that you stay in a position to receive from God, you know, that you stay in faith. Number three is you got to prepare. And this is a huge one.
Yeah.
Prepare. I love this one because it's sometimes forgotten, you know.
And it's really like an action of faith.
Yeah.
So if you're believing God for a room, or for if you're believing God for a baby, but the doctor says you can't have a baby, well, you, one of the things you do is obviously you believe the word of God, that the word says that you're to be fruitful and multiply, and then you stand on that word, and then you prepare. So what does prepare mean in that instance? Prepare a room. Prepare the baby room.
Yeah.
You know, get some baby clothes. Like, start preparing, acting, knowing that God has heard you, and you take a step of faith in that direction because you know that the promise is on its way.
Yeah. In every miracle, there's a God part and a man part.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times we just say, okay, well, God, when are you going to do it? But God is waiting for you to take a step of faith. What's his name? Peter would have never walked on the water if he wouldn't have stepped out of the boat.
Yeah,
the 11 others just stayed in the boat.
Yeah.
But he saw the miracle take place because he dared to step out.
Yeah, that's right.
Peter had a problem. He couldn't pay his taxes. He came to Jesus. Jesus, what are you going to do? Jesus said to him, you go fish.
Yeah.
And then when you catch the fish, you check his mouth and there'll be a gold coin.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he could have been like, oh, I thank you, Lord. There will be a gold coin in the fish's mouth. I'm praying right now, thinking that you are my provider. Thank you, Lord. I will be given to me. I shall never lack. God provides in all my needs according to his riches and glory. And he's just proclaiming the promises of God and the word of God. But he needed to do his part.
Yeah, that's
and that
right.
was go fish.
Yes.
Throw that net out,
that's
throw
right.
that thing out, the rod out, you know, and then catch the fish and then go pay your taxes. There's a step that he had to take.
That's right.
With the other catch of fish, you know, the net breaking, boat sinking load of fish. Jesus said, go back into the deep, launch into the deep, cast your nets on the other side, and then you'll catch a massive harvest of fish. So there's a step that you have to take. You got to prepare yourself for the harvest. Too many times we spiritualize things, and God is actually a very practical God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to practice, I don't even know if that's a word, but you got to practice it. You got to prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to prepare yourself to receive that answer.
That's right.
You mentioned already about having, like, you believe in God for a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Then get a baby room ready. And the Bible says it in Isaiah 54. He says, sing, O barren, verse 1. You have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. That's the promise. Okay, awesome. God's going to give me children. Okay, number 2. Then you need to what? Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the left and to the right, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabit. What had to happen? She had to enlarge her tent.
Yeah,
she had
right.
to build an addition to her house.
Yeah.
She had to do something.
Yeah, that's right. And just like 2 Kings 3, I'm going to go ahead and read that. 2 Kings 3, 16, 17. And he said, this says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for this says the Lord, you shall not see wind nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. And then it goes on. They had to dig the ditches.
Yeah.
There's always a part that you play in seeing the promises of God filled. And then the ditches would be stopped, and then they had to keep digging, never giving up, that persistency again.
I was also reminded of that lady in 2 Kings 4, the widow. She had a massive debt. I mean, she was in a big trouble. She went to the man of God. She said, what must I do? You know, what are you going to do about it? Well, he said, what do you have in your house? She said, I have nothing in my house except for a little jar of oil.
Mm-hmm.
So God always, we think it's too little, but God says, what you have is enough to see the breakthrough
Amen.
Take place. But you got to put to work what you've been given.
Yes.
So instead of asking God, what are you going to do? Ask him, what can I do? You know, what do you want me to do? What's the step you want me to take? Maybe he wants you to sow a seed. Maybe he wants you to take a step of obedience. There's always a key that unlocks what God's going to do.
Yeah.
But he's waiting for you. Many times we're not waiting on God. He's actually waiting on us.
Yeah, that's right.
So this widow, she said, he said to her, what do you have in your house? She said, I just have a little jar of oil. He said, great. Go to all your neighbors and borrow vessels, not a few. Take them into your house and start pouring that oil. That little jar of oil that you have, start pouring it into the empty vessels that you have borrowed. Well, I mean, with your natural mind, you would borrow one empty vessel and start pouring that little bit in. It could never fill one vessel. But she had to borrow not a few. Mm-hmm. See, many times the miracle is limited to our own natural mindset. That we, in our natural mindset, limit what God can do because we look at what we have and say, how can it happen? How can God turn this situation from drought to rain? He can if you just take a bold step of faith. Elijah says to the king, he says, go prepare your chariot for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So he had to go and race. Yeah. Even though there was just a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Yeah. It's not how much you see happening. It's just any little sign you see from God, any little word from God. You take it. You say, yes, this is it. God is moving in my life. It's going to happen. The rain is coming. And you prepare yourself for the abundance of rain.
That's right.
See, Elijah was on that mountaintop. His servant had come and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. After Elijah had proclaimed, after he had prayed, he saw a little cloud. You know, he had persistently prayed. He had gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He saw just this little cloud and he said, yes, I'm going to take it and I'm going to prepare myself for the abundance of rain. See, if you're believing for rain, then you got to bring an umbrella. If you don't show up with an umbrella, then you know it's not believing for rain.
Yeah.
Elijah said, man, I got to get running and find shelter before I get flushed away, you know. So what did he have to do? He had to pursue.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's just so important.
That's the fourth point.
Yeah. He told the king, he said, you better get going because the rain's going to overtake you. And then when Ahab started going, the king started going, Elijah did something too. He started pursuing the promise of God in his life. He started running with the vision that God had given him. He started running as if it was already a torrential downpour.
Mm-hmm.
There was not one drop of rain had fallen yet. It was only just that little cloud the size of a man's head. But he moved his way down from the mountaintop, from his place of prayer, and he moved himself into a place of pursuit, where he was pursuing what he believed that God was doing in his life. See, God cannot bless stagnancy.
Yeah.
You can't steer a ship that's sitting in the harbor. The ship's got to get moving. And this is so huge because there's too many stagnant believers. See, stagnant water starts smelling. It gets stinky. But God has got a river on the inside of you that's got to get moving so you can be a blessing for the people around you, so you can get breakthrough after breakthrough and see God moving in your life. And then actually, see, as you get going in the thing that you know that God is telling you to do, actually the Bible says all these blessings will come and overtake
you. That's
right. You can't be overtaken if you're not moving.
Yeah.
You got to get moving. You got to get going in the right direction. Elijah was moving in the right direction. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon him and he was supernaturally accelerated. Yeah. He got so speeded up by the Spirit of God that he overtook that chariot of horses with the best horses of Israel. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants the supernatural acceleration. Everybody wants the overnight success. Everybody wants to move from drought to rain. But he had to get moving with what he knew that God was telling him, with what he knew, with what he believed. And as he got moving with it, the Spirit of God accelerated him.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the place where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the place where we're at right now, is where God is speeding things up. But that momentum has to be created by you, where you start moving in the natural and God says, let me put my super on your natural and make you a sign and a wonder in your land.
Amen.
In order to
Amen.
Become that sign and a wonder, God wants you to get going, what you know to get going with.
So maybe there's some things in your life that looks like it's an impossible situation, that maybe God promised you certain things, but it looks like there's no way in the possible. There is no cloud in the sky right now. Doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. Then take these principles and do them. Start proclaiming the word of God. Find promises in the Word of God for your situation and start proclaiming it, start speaking it into existence, stand on the Word, pray. Maybe you've grown weary in praying. Don't grow weary. The Bible
Amen.
Says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary. So stay strong in the word, proclaim it, pray, and then prepare, and then pursue. And you're gonna be right in the middle of where God wants you to be. And you're gonna see those things that God has promised you personally come to pass as you take these steps and you apply them in your life.
Yeah, and maybe you're already doing three of them, but you haven't done the fourth. Yeah. Or maybe you're very strong on one or two, but you're just like, oh man. Yeah. So take whatever you feel like, man, that's the one I was lacking, and start applying it, start working it, you know, work the principle and you'll see it working. And let's just pray. Father, I thank you for abundant rain on every life.
Thank
I thank you, Lord,
Lord,
for massive breakthrough upon breakthrough. Lord, make this their best year yet, where they see your good hand moving upon their life. I thank you, Lord, that you crown them with love and kindness. I thank you, Lord, that you satisfy them with good things. I thank you, Lord, you even give them the desires of their heart. I thank you, Lord, that you don't just meet their needs, but that you do exceedingly abundantly above all that they've been asking or thinking, Lord, according to your riches, according to your glory, according to your goodness. And we give you praise in advance for all that you have done and all that you're doing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. And see you next week, same place, same time.
Yes. Love you guys.
Love you all.